People are skeptical when they first come in. And I think Ben was just as skeptical as anyone.
Sure.
You're concerned, you're worried, you don't know what's going to happen. You're getting an IV, which you don't feel real comfortable
with.
And you really, you know, you just don't know what's going on. Here we try to present you with every comfort level that is available to you. So I'm putting in the IV, or, you know, somebody who knows how to put in is putting in the IV. You're monitored, you're receiving oxygen, you're in a safe place here. And we're going to make sure that you are safe during the entire process. So the fear factor should drop. Now, I mean, after you had this done, you can probably say it wasn't as scary as you thought it was at the beginning. But understood, it was scary at the beginning.
I'm afraid of doctors. I'm afraid of needles. And I came in. Dr. Swanee made me feel comfortable. We sat down. It's a relaxing atmosphere. We had soothing music on, actually. I remember that, which is really helpful because you take that in when you go out. I sat down in the chair. They administered the IV. I don't remember being awake much longer after that. I woke up, and I felt surrounded by everybody that was involved with the process, which was really good to me because I didn't feel alone. I wasn't afraid. I didn't wake up going, where am I? The waking up process, it's not euphoric by any means. It just was interesting. It was like waking up from a dream in different stages until I was able to focus a little clearer. And then I got in the car and I went home.
Mm-hmm.
That night, I noticed the change right away. I think that's what you find with most
clients. You do. You notice an immediate change, but more importantly, you see a long-term change, which is really, it's as I said before, it's almost as though you become more intelligent. It's not that you become more intelligent. It's that when your brain shut down, you become less intelligent. Now you're restoring your intelligence. And you're clearly, you know, we can see those changes in you. Now, in you, we actually advance it because we use Botox also, which also blocks and helps reverse a lot of the depression. So we use a combination of different things.
Botox was really interesting. So I never knew that my shoulders were in spasm. I didn't know that I knew I was uncomfortable. So the Botox injections went around my eyebrows and the front, between my eyebrows, and also in my shoulders where I was in spasm. Not only did I feel better, I had motion. I was able to move my head, my shoulders without any sort of discomfort. I thought that was great. So not only do you feel better emotionally, physical pain also leads to emotional pain.
Sure.
You know, if you're uncomfortable, you're uncomfortable.
Yeah. I mean, we saw your range of motion, your neck start moving almost immediately after the Botox, which, as you pointed out, a lot of people just don't realize how much pain they're in on a daily basis. They sit in a chair, they get on a plane, and they can't move their neck. They're stiff. Those things really contribute to your depression and to your anxiety and eventually wear you down. So why do you have to be worn down? We know what Botox does. Botox not only works in relieving the pain and the pressure from the muscles, it migrates into your cerebral spinal fluid and it starts reversing depression. So great, now we have another way of treating depression. So you combine ketamine with Botox and possibly Celebrex. There's a whole host of ways of getting this accomplished.
So essentially you're saying, and what I agree with, is we're going to treat depression rather than like this long term, like you're going to be on medication for the rest of your life. We're actually going to treat the problem and not the symptoms. We've become a society that we treat symptoms, but that's not what happens here. You know, through coaching, through virtual reality, through help with a clinician, through interaction with a whole team. You're going to get better. You feel better. I feel better.
Well, you know, the old model of having to take a pill every day, that probably started somewhere in the 1960s, right? Started, as you pointed out, with an aspirin or something else. But that's not necessarily the way it should be treated. And historically, we've been looking at herbal products and natural ways of getting yourself into balance. Now we look at cancer being treated with your immune system. The same thing applies to depression. There's an immune component. There are herbal products. There are life changes, lifestyle changes.
And you know, I wanted to, I'm sorry to cut in, but one thing I wanted to mention, we talk about cancer a lot here.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when you hear that word, it's first off, it's a scary word, right? And when you hear the word cancer, immediately you think what? Radiation, chemotherapy,
right, surgery.
Loss.
Sure.
You hear that, you think of the worst. Immediately it goes to the worst. But we've learned through research, through scientific research, that if we treated people as an individual, because what works for you might not work for my chemistry, that we can actually help cure cancer. Now, since we know this for a clinical fact in cancer, why aren't we doing this with mental illness? Why would we go with a one-size-fits-all theory, which doesn't work?
Well, people didn't understand mental illness for many, many years. Mm-hmm. They didn't understand that there's an inflammatory component, there's a glutamate component, there's a neuro component. You know, and then there's all the other components,
right.
You know, who are you living with and who are you associating yourself with? So there's a lot of things going on with mental disease. Now, we're living in a society where anxiety is just phenomenal. And kids don't know how to deal with it, and parents don't know how to deal with it. So there are a lot of approaches. But is it treatable? The answer is yes. And we know how to treat it now. We know what is happening. We can actually measure it. There are BRDP proteins, which really do measure a chemical in your brain, which when it increases, we know that your vasculature is leaking and that you're having a damage to your brain. That's associated with mental illness. We can look at a functional MRI. That is where we are going in medicine. We want to know, and we want to be able to see exactly what's happening to your brain so we know how to treat it. And we're almost there.
We are almost, more than almost there, to be honest with you. Listen, I've been a part of different police initiatives. I have been a part of hospital visits where I would go to emergency rooms and sit with people after they've overdosed and been reversed with Narcan. There is a way to help people. But what the biggest question that I hear, and I think you hear as well, is, well, what do I do? How do I get rid of this? How do I get to feel better?
Right. And here we actually accomplish that. But to your point, when you go to an emergency room and somebody has received Narcan, that's a short-term fix, right? You really haven't done anything to the underlying problem. You haven't addressed it. And chances are you're not going to really get a result.
Right.
Not a long-term result, at least.
Right.
So, but then if you were to step it up and say, okay, maybe you should be getting Sublocade or Probufene or some other agents, but those things are available here at this facility, they are not available in most emergency rooms.
I think one of the problems that we run into, I think there's a misconception of what medically assisted treatment is. We've gone a long way from the methadone clinics and the methadone lines, which is not to say methadone, anything good or bad about methadone, but there's so many different other options.
Sure.
All medically assisted treatment is treatment that has been medically assisted so that, again, your brain can relax enough that you're able to accept the treatment method.
Well, I mean, to be more precise, we don't endorse the use of methadone because we believe methadone by itself is a lipophilic. It gets sucked into your fat, and there is an addictive potential with that also.
Right.
Plus, it's an antiquated agent. It's an old agent. So we look at the newer agents. So we look at Sublocade and Probufene, and now Braeburn is coming out with another product. So we look at the more advanced strategies so that we can get a long-term result. And we're kind of trashing the old models because we know when they work and when they don't work, and they have largely not worked in most of the cases.
So that means we've advanced.
We have advanced significantly.
So it's not the methadone line anyway. There's another way. So
there are more advanced lines, and it's not a Suboxone. You know, Suboxone is a highly abused drug.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for years people have been exchanging it and passing it by because it's a daily oral medication.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably not the approach that we need to take. It's the implantables where you can't access it, but it's going to block the receptors. Eventually, we're going to get to vaccines, where you can actually receive a vaccine and have it blocked permanently, and you don't have to be at risk. That's what most teams are looking at right now, and we're looking at that also.
And we also offer Vivitrol, is that correct?
We do offer Vivitrol naltrexone, which is an intramuscular injection every 28 days, more effective in people with alcohol use disorder, but highly effective.
I think that, again, most people don't know what's available to them.
They don't know how to use it.
How do you get the message out?
Right. I mean, this is how we're getting the message out. But what is interesting is that only 10% of doctors have the ability to write for Suboxone. And of those 10% that have the ability to write for Suboxone, I would venture to guess less than 10% actually know how to administer it. And when do you not use Suboxone? When do you use Suboxone? When do you think about Sublocade or Probufene or other modalities? So this is an area where you need to look at it with a level of sophistication.
So then if a client were to come here, they wouldn't be treated the way everybody else is treated. They would be treated uniquely to their needs.
Precisely. And there is an end game here. So you're trying to get somebody better so they're back into their lifestyle, they're back with their families, they're back at work. What we don't believe that you need to do, you don't need to take yourself out of your workplace or out of your family environment and be scarred for life. You come here, you're treated confidentially, and you're going to get a result. And you're going to go back to your life. We've eliminated the negative component.
So there's almost no interruption. What happens is someone could come in, protect their confidentiality.
Which they should.
Which absolutely they should. So confidentiality is guaranteed. They can get well. They can create a program that suits them best.
The importance is in realizing, okay, if you think that you've got a problem, and it could be mental illness, it could be substance use disorder, it could be Alzheimer's, it could be a whole host of things, go to a medical team. This is a medical scientific team that's available to you. You should take advantage of this. If you don't take advantage of this particular location and you've got a particular disease, we'll help you. You can call us and we may direct you to a place and say, okay, go to NYU for your Alzheimer's because they have one of the best programs in the world. Rely on your doctors. There's a lot that can be done, but don't neglect your underlying condition or your medical condition.
Look, let's be honest. The, the hardest call to make is that first call. The hardest step to take is that first step. I understand not knowing which way to go. I understand what it's like to be afraid.
But it shouldn't be that hard any longer. And I think that's what we're trying to achieve, is we're trying to take away that fear. There should be no fear. You've got a real disease. You've got real chemical changes in your brain. Don't be afraid. It's like any other disease. We can take care of it. We can look at it and appropriately treated.
What I was going to say is, I understand that first call is the hardest call to make, but there is an answer. You don't have to suffer. Not alone anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.